All right, so here are solutions to the homework 18. I imagine we need to go over some of these. Yes, Jonathan.
Number three.
All right, now complete solutions will be posted for you to use. So three, we have that the cosine of x is negative 0.62, and we're told that x is between 0 and 2 pi. I mean, sorry, between pi and 2 pi. Let's look at this condition, the condition that x is between pi and 2 pi first. So to go around pi, here's the initial side. So pi is a 180-degree angle, and so in standard position, its terminal side is on the negative x-axis. Now, 2 pi means you go all the way around, so the 2 pi angle, you can't tell the difference between the initial and the terminal sides. They're over top of each other. Initials and the terminal side are both the positive x-axis. So what does this tell us about our angle? This says that the terminal side of our angle lies in quadrant 3 or quadrant 4, or there's three other possibilities, but those are not relevant here. It could be pi, it could be 2 pi, or it could be 3 pi over 2. It's not going to be one of those three. So the terminal side of x (3 or 4). Okay, now we can answer the question, which quadrant is it? Is it in both? Are there two solutions? There could be two solutions, there could be more, but in fact there's only one. So what does CAST tell us? Okay, we're concerned with the cosine function. In quadrant 3, the cosine is negative. What about in quadrant 4? The cosine is positive. So which quadrant is the terminal side of our angle in? It's in 3. Terminal side of x is in quadrant 3, since cosine of x is negative. All right. So that's like a little drawing of x. Initial side is the positive x-axis. Terminal side is in quadrant 3. And because we know x is between pi and 2 pi, x will be measured by a counterclockwise rotation going around more than halfway, but not more than 3/4 of the way around. All right. So how are we going to find x? We use the reference angle. Reference angle is the angle the terminal side makes with the x-axis. It's an acute angle. Alpha. Alpha is the reference angle. So if you look at this diagram, if we know alpha, we can compute x by noting that x will be pi halfway around plus alpha. If you go halfway around counterclockwise, you get pi, and then you have to go alpha more to get x. Okay. So that tells us we need to figure out alpha. Find alpha. Everybody with this so far? How are we going to find alpha? Well, we know that the cosine of x is negative 0.62. So what's the cosine of alpha? 0.62. It's the absolute value of the cosine of x. The cosine of the reference angle is the absolute value of the cosine of the angle. That works for all of the trig functions. Now, what else we know about alpha? Alpha is between 0 and pi over 2. Well, alpha is an acute angle, so it can't be larger than pi over 2. But yes, it's between 0 and pi also. That's correct. Right. So we're going to use the inverse cosine function. So you can just write down immediately alpha is the inverse cosine of 0.62. But let's see why that's the case. The inverse cosine takes numbers from minus 1 to 1 and gives you angles in 0 pi. So if we have alpha in 0 pi, which we know it's there, cosine of alpha will be 0.62, which is between minus 1 and 1. It's in that interval. Now, what does the inverse cosine function? It'll take the 0.62 and give us the alpha back. Okay, so you compute the inverse cosine of 0.62 in your calculator. Make sure your calculator is in radian mode. Whenever you're using the trig functions here, you want to be in radian mode. So that's 0.90. You need to go two significant digits. So the 0 after the 9 has to be there. If you leave it off, your answer is incorrect. The 0 in front of the decimal place doesn't have to be there. That's there to indicate that there's a decimal point. Okay, I don't need to go to another page. So x is pi plus alpha, pi plus 0.90, which is 4.0. Two significant digits again. You have to have 4.0. Okay, does that help you with 3? Mm-hmm. All right. So this is a rather complicated problem. You have to do a lot of steps. So first step is figure out where the terminal side of alpha is. That's the first thing. Then you determine the reference angle, and then you use the diagram that you drew to figure out the angle x. All right, what else would you like to look at? Yes.
Maybe 1B.
1B, sure.
Or just all 1. I should make sure I did it right away.
Okay, 1. So we're told that side A is 6.2. Side B 7.4, and we're told that angle C is a right angle. So in your drawing, side B should be longer than side A, right? I mean, we can't be. So you could have something like this. So side B is 7.4, side A is 6.2. Okay, we're not even going to compute side C, so we're not even going to label it. We're going to use this information to find both angles. So let's find angle A first. What do we know about the tangent of angle A?
(6.2)/(7.4).
All right. Now A is an acute angle because it's in a right triangle. Why is it acute? The angles in the right in a triangle have to add up to 180 degrees, right? They have to add up to pi. All right. This angle is pi over 2, 90 degrees. That means the other two angles have to add to 90 degrees. So these two angles have to be acute. They have to be less than 90 degrees, each one. So since A is acute, A will be the inverse tangent, 6.2 over 7.4. So once you get that, then you pull out your calculator. You do not compute 6.2 over 7.4 first. That's an error. It's an error in computation. Why is it an error? Because you're doing a computation that you're going to round, and then you're going to round again. So you're creating multiple problems with rounding. If you do it this way, the rounding is taken care of by your calculator automatically. All right, so we get 0.70. For A, again, you'd have to have 0.70. Now, what about B? We're not going to use anything but the givens to find B. So the tangent of B is what? 7.4 over 6.2. So B will be the inverse tangent of 7.4. 6.2, which is 0.87. This is the only way you can solve the problem. Finding side C is an error, right? Rules for solving triangles are you use given quantities to find unknown quantities if possible. In a right triangle, if you're given two sides, it's always possible to find everything using givens only. If you're given a side and an angle in a right triangle, it's also possible to find everything using givens. If you're given the right angle and two other pieces of information about a right triangle, you can always find everything else using the stuff you're given. You don't have to find something first and then find the other things. If it's not a right triangle, then it's not always possible to do that. Okay. What else on this assignment?
Two
is the same way, except you're finding, you use the inverse cosine function to find A and the inverse sine function to find B. So let's be clear about that. Now, the hypotenuse is longer, much longer than the side B. So when you draw it, you want your hypotenuse to be longer, much longer than side B. It's over twice the length of side B. So you could have a drawing like this. Now, it doesn't matter which order you find the angles in. It makes no difference. You get the same answer either way. We'll find A first. So the cosine of A is what? 4.0 over 9.1. So A will be the inverse cosine. 4.0 over 9.1. Since A is acute. And what's the sine of B?
4.0 over 9.1.
So B will be the inverse sine. 4.0 over 9.1. So A rounds to 1.1. B rounds to 0.46. Okay, I saw some hands. Yes, Josh.
5 and 6.
All right, for 5, you do not have to use reference angles. Because of the where the terminal side of X is located. So X is between 0 and pi over 2. All right. The cotangent of X is 0.42. What's the tangent of X going to be? One over 0.42. That's right. And 0 is less than X is less than pi over 2. So let's look at the inverse tangent function. Its domain is minus infinity to infinity. And its range is minus pi over 2 to pi over 2. So the tangent of X is 1 over 0.42. And look, X is in this interval. So if we compute the inverse tangent of 1 over 0.42, we're going to get x back. If this x was not in this interval, then we'd have to use reference angles to find it. Now, you can still use reference angles to find X. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. You'll get X is the reference angle in this case. X is equal to alpha. So X is the inverse tangent. So you get exactly this if you use reference angles. And that gives you 1.2. Okay?
I was off on the decimal point.
That says to me that you must have computed 1 over 0.42 before you put it in your calculator.
No. When I originally had written down the problem.
Oh, you had the wrong problem.
I had 4.2 instead.
Let me think about that. Yeah, that would give you a much larger angle.
Yeah,
it gives you like 2.3. That gives you 0.23. Not much larger. No, that gives you a smaller angle. That gives you a smaller angle, right? It has to. Okay. 6. So we have we want to figure out the tangent of the inverse cosine of negative 5 over 13. Lots of parentheses there. So when you get one of these problems, here's what I recommend you do first. Say theta is going to be the inverse cosine negative 5 over 13. So just say that stuff is theta. And then what do we want to do? We want to find the tangent of theta. So let's think about the inverse cosine function. So if we start with minus 5 over 13, and we use the inverse cosine function on that, we're going to get theta back. Theta will be between 0 and pi. So that's important. Now, if we start with theta and we take the cosine of that, we get back minus 5 over 13. So this second one tells us that the cosine of theta is minus 5 over 13. So because theta is the inverse cosine of minus 5 over 13, theta is between 0 and pi. It could be 0 or pi, but in this case it's not. And the cosine of theta is minus 5 over 13. So these two properties are what we need We need those two things. So I'm going to write them out down again. In a slightly different way, the cosine of theta equals minus 5 over 13, and 0 less than or equal to theta less than or equal to pi. Now, this is just like a problem we did. We're not going to find theta. We just care about the tangent of theta. So this is like problems we did in the last assignment. Okay, so the terminal side of theta is in quadrant 1 or 2, because theta is between 0 and pi. Which one is it? Why is it in 2? Because cosine of theta is negative. Terminal side theta is in quadrant 2, since cosine of theta is negative. All right, now we're going to do a diagram. An angle has two sides, initial and terminal side. How do we designate those sides? They have arrows on the end. If you don't do that, then you haven't drawn an angle. I'm saying this because when I graded the homework 17, a lot of people were writing things down about the angles, doing drawings that were basically wrong because the arrows weren't missing on too many, but other things were incorrect. Okay, so what do we know about our angle? We know that the cosine of theta right. It's x over r. Can r be negative?
No.
So it's negative 5 over 13. So what does that mean we want? We want to choose a point on the terminal side. So we need to draw a point on the terminal side. There it is. What's the distance of this point from between this point and the origin?
13.
So where do we put that 13? Do we put it up here? No. We put it along the radius. So we'll put 13 right here. That's okay. This point has an x coordinate. What is it?
Negative 5.
So all you have to put is, you can do two ways. All right? The easiest is to put the point here. So we negative 5. What's the y coordinate?
We don't
know that, so we'll call it y. Now, if you want to do it the other way, you can put a little dashed line here, and you can put a negative 5, and you could have put a dashed line here. And you can say y. If you put a 5 here or a negative 5 right here, if you do this, that's wrong. Why? It's not a length. Can you have a negative length? No. All right, if you put a 5 there, it means nothing. Is there any right triangle drawn here? No. Right triangle trigonometry is not valid here. You cannot use it. Why? There's no right triangle. This is an angle. It's not a right angle. It's not an acute angle. There's absolutely no right triangle here. You're not talking about lengths. We're talking about coordinates. The only length we're talking about is the radius. That's the only length. Okay. If you put a y here, it doesn't mean anything. All right, so these dashed lines aren't necessary, but that's the other way to do it. So you have two choices. So I prefer to do it the easy way because it's clear. So I'm going to get rid of all this stuff here. It's very easy because then you have your point, you have the radius, you need to know the y-coordinate. The relationship between x, y, and r is x squared plus y squared equals r squared. Okay? Now, we have to square x. Can I write this? This is wrong. Why is that wrong? What is this telling you to do first?
Square the 5.
Then you make it negative. Why? Subtraction, which is adding a negative, is done before power, is done after powers. So we have to put negative 5 squared plus y squared equals 13 squared. Okay, so y squared would be 13 squared minus 5 squared, or y squared equals 144. All right, now you look at your y. Is it positive or negative?
Positive.
It's positive, so y is equal to 12. Now, I went over all this in detail because when I was grading your homeworks for 17, even though we had done all of them in class, I could see that some of you were still struggling with this. Okay. We're not dealing with right triangles. We're dealing with angles in standard position. The definitions of the trig functions come from right triangle trigonometry, but they're not the same definitions as right triangle trigonometry. There's no opposite, there's no hypotenuse, there's no adjacent, there's none of that. Okay, now we can finish the problem. So we wanted to figure out the tangent, the inverse cosine of negative 5 over 13. That's the tangent of theta, because the inverse cosine of negative 5 over 13 was theta. All right, so we look at our diagram. What is the tangent of theta? 12 over negative 5, right? It's y over x, so that's negative 12 fifths. 12 over negative 5 is the same as negative 12 fifths. All right, do you have a clearer understanding of this? That's a complicated problem. All right, it's important that you know how to do each step, because when it comes to the last exam, what are you going to have to do? You have to do one of these, right? Yes?
Can we do 7?
You can do 7. Now, let's go a little faster this time. So here we want to compute the sine, the inverse tangent of minus 1/3. So let's do it the same way we did the last problem. So theta will be the inverse tangent of minus 1/3. Now, let's think about the inverse tangent function. I want to just do a little brief diagram over here. So the inverse tangent function takes numbers from minus infinity to infinity and gives us angles from minus pi over 2 to pi over 2, and then the tangent function reverses that. So we know two things about theta. We know that the tangent of theta is minus 1/3. And we know that minus pi over 2 is less than theta, is less than pi over 2. That's what the inverse tangent tells us. Theta will be in minus pi over 2 to pi over 2, and the tangent of theta will be minus 1/3. Okay, now the next step was to figure out which quadrant the terminal side of theta is in. So it's either the terminal side of theta is either in quadrant 4 or quadrant 1. Which one is it? Quadrant 4, because tangent of theta is negative. So, tangent is positive in the first quadrant. We don't care about these two quadrants. All right. That allows us to draw, so terminal side of theta is in here. We could actually figure out theta. We don't care about theta, though we could actually figure out its value. But that doesn't matter. All right. So we take a point on the terminal side. What do we know about the tangent of theta? It's y over x. Okay, which one of those two is negative? Y is negative, so it'll be minus 1 over positive 3. That means that this point will be, what's the x-coordinate going to be? 3. Y-coordinate? Negative 1. And what do we need to know? R. So do we leave R out of the diagram? No. We write it in there. Okay. Else, what are you finding? You're finding this thing R, Y. What is it? What does it mean? Okay, now we figure out R. X squared plus Y squared equals R squared. So we have 3 squared plus the square of negative 1 equals R squared. Okay, so we have 9 plus 1, 10 equals R squared. R is positive, so R is the square root of 10. Okay, so now what are we figuring out? We're figuring out the sine of the inverse tangent minus 1/3, which is the sine of theta. Sine of theta is what? Negative 1 over r. It's the y over r. So it's negative 1 over the square root of 10. That's not the same answer I gave. You want to rationalize the denominator. How do you do that? Multiply by the square root of 10 over square root of 10. So it's minus the square root of 10 over 10. Okay, I don't have enough time to do 7, but that will be posted. All right, so here's what I want to do. If you sign the attendance sheet, I will give you full credit for this assignment. All right? Everybody okay with that, or do you want me to grade it? No. But you need to study. Make sure you're doing your diagrams correctly and everything else. All right, Wednesday will be our last class day. We will review on Wednesday for the final exam. I did send out an email message about online evaluations. I'd like to get to 60% at least, so please consider doing them. All you got to do is click on that link and do it. I know it's a survey, and I know you get inundated with surveys.